Hello and welcome along to Clara FM's Sideline View. Derek Lynch with you for the next hour. Coming up on the show, we'll be looking ahead to what could be a season-defining afternoon for Clare, hurling on the banks of the Lee Sunday afternoon as a trip to Páirc Uí Chaoimh awaits Brian Lohan's Chargers. We also begin the countdown to the Munster football final by speaking with Clare's Ica Maguire. John Carmody looks ahead to Clare's double weekend of Munster Camogie semi-finals, and Taekwondo is the feature of this week's Sport in Focus. Now we are looking ahead to Sunday's game with Cork down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and Tommy Guilfoyle, I guess that's all we can do at this point. There is not much value, is there, in looking back? You just simply have to look at what's coming down the road.
Yeah, I think the management and the players will have reflected briefly, I think, because as you said, you know, you can't dwell on the past. I think they'll have a chat amongst themselves, but I think that needs to be parked. Last Sunday needs to be parked and, you know, move on and prepare for, you know, what now appears to be an even more important game. You know, a game again that, you know, while it's not the be-all and end-all, I think it's crucial to both teams' progress in the Munster Championship that after losing the first round that you need to get back on the wagon and, you know, get something out of the next game. A big test going to Cork, but I think a test that Clare will be up for.
Yeah, and I guess like the mindset coming into it, both teams off the back of defeats, but psychologically they feel like two very different losses.
Yeah, and again, I suppose we'd be probably banking on, you know, what happened last year, and there was the bounce back ability of Clare. I'm not sure, you know, if Cork are in that same position. I think Cork are appear to be, you know, not sure of where they're at the moment. I'm not sure, was the complacency going to Waterford, which, if it was, I mean, is ludicrous. From a Clare point of view, I think, you know, they'll know what they need to do. It probably be a different sort of a game than the Limerick game. Cork would be more of a ball-playing team. But I think it comes down to, you know, from a Cork point of view, do they stick with the people that they have played, or will they twist and go with a younger brigade, which seemingly the noise coming out of Cork is that they feel it's time for change, it's time to give these under-20 players their opportunity, but a big decision for Pat Ryan and his management at the weekend. But look, from a Clare point of view, I think probably don't expect too many changes, hopefully from an injury point of view, that, you know, we don't have them. Mentally, I think, you know, they need to park the loss and the manner of the loss last week and, you know, focus on the Cork game now, because it's, as you said, no point in looking back. It's looking forward to 2 o'clock next Sunday in Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah, and I guess, like, what stick do management use this week? Like, is it the carrot and stick thing where you say it to them, for 60 minutes we went 9 points clear, for the following 10 or 12 we know what happened? Like, which message do you emphasise now all this week?
I think, Derek, you have to, you know, probably recognise, you know, the bottom line is that we lost the game, why we lost the game, you know, take the learnings from the game. But also, you know, on any given day, I mean, there was loads of positives. I think, you know, if someone had said to me that Clare would be in a position of being 9 points ahead of Limerick, I would have found that hard to accept. But I mean, Clare, justifiably so, for 55 minutes, you know, hurled brilliantly. I think they got their matchups, they got the way they wanted to play the game, you know, but then I suppose, look at the 15 minutes, we said they won't dwell on it, and I don't think they will, but we must take the learnings. And probably from a defensive point of view, there are times in the game, I think, Derek, where, you know, we need to batten down the hatches when we're under pressure, because, you know, at this level, I think all inter-county teams will get their purple patches. They'll get their 5 or 10 minutes, you know, when they're on top. I think it's how we deal with this. You know, I just feel personally sometimes we're a bit gung-ho. We leave ourselves open at the back. We just maybe need to be a bit more negative at times and ride out the opposition storm. So I think that they'll take that on board. You know, I suppose the question is now, do they start? Is Tony Kelly in a position to start? And if so, where he will start? I don't expect too many changes from the team. I think the management will give the vote of confidence to the 15 or so maybe they started. As I said, Darragh Lohan went off injured. we're not exactly sure. I'm hearing, you know, Conor Cleary took a knock to the foot and was potentially in a boot. You know, whether that's just precautionary, I'm not sure. So they'll probably just weigh up. I suppose they'll be back in training tonight. They probably would have done their recovery last night, got their reflections on the game out of the way, and it's all forward. But I don't expect too many changes. I think it's a game that if Clare, you know, attack Cork, you know, of course, if you lose a game, you really want to get it back up on that horse and go again. I think they need to rattle Cork early and don't let Cork settle. I think there are doubts in Cork. I think Clare must really, really go after those.
Because a lot of the time when you talk about Clare-Cork fixtures, people laud it for being this, you know, risky game, this lovely game that both teams will come close to the 30-point barrier and all the rest of it. But as you said there, like, Clare probably need to go into the trenches a bit on this one.
Yeah, I do. I think because I think we you know, there is no doubting, and you know, while sometimes I would question, you know, where Cork are at, there is no doubt that Cork will have 20 of the best, most skillful hurlers in the country, you know, in their panel on Sunday. But it's how we allow them to play. You know, when you look at their team, they have some, you know, Mark Coleman, Fitzgibbon, Barrett, you know, and then up front you have the older brigade of Harnedy, Lehan. We all know what they can do if they're allowed to do it. But I think if we go to make it a battle and, you know, Clare impose their intensity and their physicality, that's where I think that Clare will have the edge over Cork. As I said, I think Cork are under massive pressure from, you know, their own supporters. Clare, while we'll be disappointed, probably will have taken more positives out of last Sunday than Cork would out of their defeat to Waterford. But it's, I think from, you know, Cork are at home. Clare must need to set out their stall very early, go after Cork, not sit back and feel sorry for themselves. I think they need to attack the game and keep the foot down on the pedal.
And important as well, I think, from a Clare supporter to kind of maybe keep in the back of our heads while we're all gutted coming out of the park, and probably will be maybe up to late this week. Like, but at the end of the day, it's just 2 points gone. And if you're going to win in All-Ireland, well then Cork, Tip, Waterford are all teams you should be aiming to beat.
It is, yeah, and no doubt. I think, you know, management will say they will take one game at a time. And I suppose, you know, I'm not sure is it the added pressure, but you have no divine right to win your home games. But, you know, you target those as being, you know, winning your home games. And while Clare will be disappointed, but I think the positives they will take out of it. I think the manner in which we played. And again, I was, you know, I would say from an offensive point of view, you know, I mean, what Shane O'Donnell brings, I think, you know, we need to, you know, to supply him and supplement him there with maybe playing Rodgers on the inside, you know, where we can really ask questions of this Cork defence. You know, Cahalan was sent off for 2 fouls last week. You know, there's going to be a doubt in his head. Cork, you know, Parky Creeve will have big, wide open spaces. I think, you know, Clare need to feed that inside line you know, give those a chance to play to their strengths. You know, O'Donnell was electric last week. You know, I think the game will have brought him on from Peter Duggan again, an option on the puck out. I just think we need to, you know, do more and keep doing what we did for 60 minutes last week against Cork next Sunday.
Would you think from a Cork perspective they got a bit cut out last weekend because we expect Waterford to play in a certain manner, and then they set up almost orthodox, not quite, but as close to it as we've seen for quite some time, and they probably just couldn't adjust to it?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that it would have been complacency, but I suppose, you know, public opinion suggested that Waterford were struggling, and look at Davy Fitz alluded to that there was issues within and with the outside, but when you look at the Waterford panel of players that they have, each and every one of them are just as good as what's in the rest of Munster. Cork maybe, you know, underestimated the challenge that was there. You know, Waterford were always going to get a reaction. I don't think Cork, you know, Cork don't like a battle. Waterford, from what I saw on television, you know, fought tooth and nail for every ball. You know, upset Cork, didn't allow them into any great rhythm. You know, they struggled to get the ball to their inside line, you know, where Connolly looked dangerous when he got it, but it was a, you know, a lack of supply probably, which didn't give him the opportunity. But, you know, Clare will be alive to that next week. So I believe that, you know, from a Cork point of view, you know, they'll be very disappointed, no more than Clare will be coming out of Waterford last week. But while it's not a knockout game, it is a very important game next week, and I think it comes down to, it won't be the fancy Dan Hurlan. I think it'll who wants it more on the given day, who's willing to put their head and hand in where you wouldn't. That's going to be the difference.
Yeah, and again, we talk about the benches and, you know, the strength to clear have and stuff like that, but maybe one slight concern would be that, but when we spoke about it at halftime in the commentary, like, that it might make the difference, but we didn't seem to get the same bench impact that Limerick did, albeit we were saying that we might have one or two better options.
Yeah, and again, I suppose it was probably surprising from a personal point of view, you know, where you had Conor Lean and Ian and Cian Galvin, you know, were originally picked to play. Look, we all, you know, thought that they may not start, but, you know, guys that played in a league final 2 weeks ago, you know, you'd imagine that they could have been and should have been in contention, and we made five substitutions and those three weren't in it. So, look, it's great in hindsight. Look, we are talking here now with the benefit of hindsight. You know, management probably make decisions as they see it on the day. I just thought that, you know, to freshen up the legs, particularly in around that middle third, was what we required. Limerick put those substitutes into that area and, you know, just got a bigger return from our bench. It'll be interesting to see, you know, did any substitute, you know, merit a start next week? As I said, we're not exactly sure where Tony Kelly is. You know, again, I would expect Peter Duggan, David Reedy, Rogers. I don't expect too many changes, but I think we need to make the right decisions at the right time, you know, if and when they're required.
Now we're continuing our look ahead to Sunday's game and delighted to have Cian Dillon to do just that. Cian, as a player, what's this week like, you know, trying to recover from one while building up to another?
That's the thing. It's quite tough, but I'm sure the players are well prepared for it. They have plenty of experience within the group to manage it and manage it well. Management as well, I'm sure, will be ensuring that they get back and get focused on the next game. I suppose the beauty of it, in one sense, the way the championship is in terms of round robin, you don't have time to dwell on games, be it good games or bad games. And just unfortunate the way it ended the last day. But as I said, players just don't have time to look into it. They'll have a quick review, they'll get on to recovery, and they'll try and get back to training, get one good training session in, really, and get focused on Cork. And that's all they can do. They'll have to park it fairly quick, because next weekend's game is has added importance now, the fact that both teams are coming in after the feast. So it'll be an interesting one for sure.
What can you do in a week like this, training-wise? Is it just, you know, walking through tactical stuff? It can't be overly taxing anyway.
No, definitely not. Like a six-day turnaround or a week turnaround, it's hard to do. The main priority is to get bodies right. Like, you're after coming out of a massive battle there in Cusa Park, the result didn't go your way. That's deflating in itself. But for players then to kind of, I suppose, mentally switch off from that, kind of go through the process of dealing with that defeat and thinking back on the mistakes and the what could have been, and then allowing the body to recover. Like, that's in the first 48 hours, that's the main thing the players have to do. And management, I suppose, will be very proactive in ensuring that their bodies are ready for the next training session. And as you said, you can't do a massive workload. Like, it's going to be short, snappy, maybe two short training sessions, really short, snappy stuff, just making sure the eye is still in, the touch is in, that the lads are moving around well. But like that, it'll be very much just kind of bring the pace of it down, think about puck outs against Cork, go through those kind of set plays and puck outs, retaining those puck outs, getting those stats up for the weekend, because like that, it's going to be a huge, huge game for sure.
Like, for these guys that are on video analysis and stuff like that, are they nearly having to review two games in a way? Like, because it felt for 60 minutes, it's one game, and then for the final 15, it's a whole other animal.
That's it. And I suppose it's that idea of, like, what caused it is the main thing that'll be bugging the kind of management and players alike, is like, how do we let that happen? And like, I felt fair deflated coming away from that game at the weekend, but it was almost a bit like the most final for me, just like it was a game that was there for us, and to come away without the win was so deflating and so sickening. But I suppose the difference is this time around, it's more of a sense that we let it slip that bit more. There's no there's no way of dressing up. Like we did let it go, and that's a slight worry in that I suppose we didn't do anything to kind of stem the tide. Like they got the first club goal was fluky. They followed up with a second that was just, you know, could easily have been a save, I suppose. Killingham probably wouldn't be too happy with it, but just the manner in that we just allowed, we kind of kept doing the same thing. Puck out's going long, and they kept turning it back. Whereas maybe we should have like tried to be a bit more cynical, disrupt the play a little bit, just like try and get someone down. That old kind of adage of suck a few minutes on the clock, kind of get the momentum, disrupt their momentum a little bit, get someone down with an injury. But that's probably something that they'll definitely be talking about, even as players, management. Like if it happens again, something has to be done just to disrupt that momentum. Because like goals, yeah, they're worth 3 points, but it's the momentum they give to a team, especially a team like Limerick, that really oxygen, it really gave them oxygen, and it made them kick on. And like, we didn't look like conceding a goal after the first couple of minutes of the game. I thought we didn't look like conceding a goal. We were very tight at the back, very secure. I think we were hurling out of our skin really. And then for three to go in 7 minutes was just, as a player, like sometimes you can feel powerless to it, and it goes by so quick, and you're going, how is it happening? And you're trying to focus on the next play and let's win the next puck out. But maybe just that bit of cuteness and cynical thinking might have stemmed the tide a small bit, and maybe prevented the third one from happening, because they had certainly got the upper hand on us and got a run on us. So, in terms of video analysis, I think a lot of the conversation would be around something like that, being proactive for next week. If it happens again, let's just shore up and disrupt it, because they're the kind of things that look you do when you're in that kind of winning mentality, or you're a team experience like Limerick. You'd have those kind of, you'd have a person assigned to do that, or you'd have a set play ready to go when things aren't going your way. And I suppose the one thing that Limerick did, they just stuck to their game plan all the way through, and once they got that slice of fortune with the first goal, they just kicked on. And like the impact off their bench was huge for them. It gave them great platform into the game, a way back into the game. And we probably didn't get the same joy from our bench, but looking ahead to next week, it's going to be tough. But I wouldn't be sounding the alarm bells just yet. I think Clare have done a lot of good hurling. It was one poor quarter that they'll definitely learn from. As I said, there's good management there in place. They'll make sure they park that quick. Plenty of experience in the playing group and the management alike, so they'll park it quick, and you just know that they'll be ready for to put in another big shift next weekend.
And it almost seems like that when you pick through the bones of the disappointment, you know, that it's all still controllable. I mean, these are all things that Clare have a handle on themselves. They're in control of how they manage it from here. It's not as if Clare were outclassed. Clare showed and have shown they're as good as what's out there. So that's all within our own hands to fix.
Yeah, and that's, you can view that as a positive. Do you know what I mean? A lot of us will be kind of negative coming away going, how do we let that slip again? Or you can see it as a pattern. And for sure, there could be a slight worry. But I think you can, as a player or as someone involved with the playing group, I'm sure the management will be kind of putting that out there, that you can view it as a positive, that this is something completely fixable, something that, in our own hands, that, like, I suppose if you think back to it, even I suppose we probably should have won the league final a little bit more comfortably than we did, so that was a slight worry. And then to kind of collapse the way we did the last day, it is a concern. But as I said, if it's addressed now, it's better it happens now against Limerick in a game that there's no silverware up for grabs. In hindsight, you know, if we can park it quick, like I said, get the recovery into the lads and put in a big shift next weekend. Look at the first round, could be forgotten about in a couple of weeks, and we're hopefully getting in a place to be in for a Munster Championship. That's the way the lads are going to be thinking, and that's the way I'm sure the management are kind of getting a message out there to them. But it's definitely a tough one to swallow for sure. But like I said, the beauty of it is they just don't have time to dwell on it.
And
it'll have to be ready to go next week.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's similar conversations happening down on Lee's side, but I get the feeling that there may not be the same light of positivity there.
Yeah, I would think the same. I think like they were put in as heavy favourites at the weekend, and probably didn't have enough of good performances to really warrant such a heavy favouritism. Like, you always knew what, if we're going to lay siege, there was always going to be a kick in them. David Fitz got some tune out of them, and Cork just, even though they did, I know they got disappointed with the sending off, they did get back into it. They gave themselves a lifeline coming down the stretch to sneak something away from the game. But like, to be fair to Waterford, they just, as I said, they stuck to their game plan. They ran the ball very well, got vital scores at key times. And Cork just didn't really show enough physicality, enough kind of work rate. They weren't industrious enough around the middle. Waterford seemed to be hungrier to everything. So I do think, I agree with you. I think they'll be feeling the pressure a bit more, like home game for them now too. If it doesn't start well, for example, or if we were to get an early goal, sucker punch, like with the crowd getting their back a small bit potentially. So look, I suppose Clare are gonna looking ahead to that to make sure, I suppose, they start well, and like that kind of shore up the defence a bit more. Make sure there's kind of no soft goals going in, because like that, that was really the undoing of us last year.
You'd be confident heading down the road, would you?
I would. No, I would for sure. I think, as I said, they've a lot of good hurling done. They've a lot of games won this year. They know how to win games. They know how to see games out. It's just unfortunate, I suppose. We probably didn't give Limerick enough credit in that. Like, we can easily say the goals are soft and stuff, but still, they're putting themselves in a position to get them. They totally kind of took over in the back. Ran the ball very well. Like, Keane Lynch came into it in something massively. Like, they have big players, and they were able to come up with key moments coming down the stretch. Whereas you have to give them credit for that. Like, they're not going for 5-0 for nothing. So look, we've played the toughest game in the championship so far. Yeah, we didn't come away with the win, but I'd be confident. I've seen enough in them so far this year, and enough last weekend to know that there's good hurling in this side, and they'll put their best foot forward in Páirc Uí Chaoimh next weekend.
2 p.m. start on Sunday. Commentary of that game as ever here on Clare FM. Delighted to be joined by Clare senior footballer Ike Maguire as part of Super Value's launch of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Championship and its hashtag Community Includes Everyone campaign. They are sponsors of the championship for a 15th consecutive season, and Super Value joined by Gaelic Games role models and advocates from across the country in Croke Park today to highlight the role of GAA communities in making Ireland a more diverse, inclusive and welcoming country for all. Ike, thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us. How has the body recovered after Dungarvan?
Well, Derek, yeah, it's fine. No knocks on my part, anyways. Yeah, all good. Yeah, feeling good.
Yeah, it was, I guess, a night that you were in a no-win situation, really. Win by 20, and people would say you should have done it. And, you know, if you'd lost, it would have gone the other way, obviously. So I guess the big positive was good performance, good scoreline, and no injuries.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. Like, you know, most teams would want to get out with injuries. That's what we've done. So yeah, pretty good vibe in the camp right now. Like, just wanted to, you know, go out against Waterford and put our best foot forward. Like, I feel we've done that. So yeah, no complaints.
Yeah, and it seemed there on the field afterwards, as we were walking down towards the dressing room, you were kind of in a huddle there on the far side, and immediately it was almost as if the game had been parked and the countdown to 2 weeks had already begun.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, our captain, Neil Brennan, just kind of, you know, brought us in, and he let us know that if the park came now, there's bigger preparations needed now for the final. So all the boys are buying, you know, they're buying into the whole system right now. Like, and you know, we have to believe in ourselves, if anything, now, because we're gonna have a few critics, you know, but you know, we're gonna train hard this next 2 weeks, and then, you know, hopefully on the day of the most fun, we put our best forward and see how it goes.
Yeah, and it's been a hugely positive season. This group have really forged your own identity, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Obviously, everyone knows about the, you know, the absentees that we have on our team right now, the retirements. So we don't really want that to, you know, have like a heavy burden on our season. Like, we don't want everyone saying that, oh, if only they had this person, they had this person. Do you know what I'm saying? So we kind of want to. We want everyone that's there right now to put their best foot forward, and, you know, it's kind of down to us now to, you know, carry the team. You know, a few of us now are kind of in, like, we're in our, like, early 20s, so now we kind of have to, you know, carry the team forward and, you know, show the leaders that we can be. So yeah, that's kind of good.
Your own footballing journey, though, obviously started out in less dramatic and scenic places than Cusick Park or Killarney. We have a co-commentator, obviously, that takes a lot of credit, Ecom, for the way that you play football, Joe Gary. You had him in Skull Creastery. He always reminds us, and he's very modest, as you know. But was that where your love of the game was first fostered?
Yeah, that's where it was, yeah. I didn't really know about Gaelic football in my earlier years. I was more kind of soccer. soccer and a bit of rugby, and then I was also playing doing judo at the same time. So those three would have been the main sports when I was growing up. But then obviously Joe in Clough National School, he told me about football. Joe Gary and one of my other teachers, Dave McMahon, he's sadly passed away now. But both of them would have been the two fellas that introduced me to football, and they kind of showed me how to play the game. And they were kind of the big factors in my life with football. So all thanks to them.
Did you take to it straight away, or did it take a bit of time for the love of it to develop with you?
It took a bit of time because I didn't really get it, but at the same time, I was kind of like, well, this is kind of like rugby and it's kind of like soccer at the same time, but you're able to use your hands. So I was kind of curious about it, and I was kind of like, okay, let me see how I could do with this. And then obviously I played a game, it wasn't my best game, but I did enjoy it. So that's what kept me coming back. I'd say those early days did pay good to me now, obviously playing with them. Playing the senior footballers now, so it's gone good. I'm enjoying it so far. That's all.
Yeah, it's been a brilliant few years for you between winning those championships with their Aoghe and making your stamp on the intercounty team. Like, this must be a period that you'd dream of.
Yeah, I didn't really think I'd be like I didn't really think I'd play senior football for Clare at all, because I was obviously full lead on rugby at the time. I football was kind of just playing during the summer as like a hobby to keep me fit while rugby was gone. But then I just started to kind of enjoy football a bit more. And I was kind of saying to myself, my mom and dad were kind of saying to me, why don't you give it a crack? Like, why don't you see how far you can go with this? And then I said, yeah, sure. You might as well, get it done, but I'm not that old. But we'll use that saying, and I said, yeah, let me just see how it goes, Obviously, when Colum was the manager, he was asking me, but I always used to say, no, I'm playing rugby. But I did answer the call during the COVID year. And then I done that year. I really enjoyed it. And then I missed the year after because I went back to rugby. But it was still in my mind. So then I came back the year before Colum left. And then since then, I've been enjoying it now. And obviously, this year has gone well. So, I can't really complain.
And it's obviously a very busy sporting house, because we know what your sister Chisholm has achieved as well in terms of the rugby. I mean, there must be a great old rivalry between you as to who's doing better on the field at the moment, is there?
No, not really. She does ask me for a few pointers here and there. All the boys and all my coaches are telling me that she taught me how to step, but I wouldn't really think that was that the guy taught her how to do the sidestep, to be fair. Fair play to her. She's making all of us proud. I knew she could, I always knew she could go this far in rugby. I always used to push her, she's also pushing me too, because she's doing her thing, and she's also showing me that if you really want to do something, put your heart into it, and you'll get rewards in the end. She's really pushing me too, and I'm really, really happy for her. She's making that proud too. I wish her all the best. She's going through, all good.
And it's amazing to be involved in that sporting environment, because within both Clare and Aoghden, you have Mark McInerney, and obviously Alana is doing very, very well on the rugby scene too. So, that crossover of learnings that one coach can give to the other, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive. And from obviously my experience playing rugby and football, they are very, very similar. Obviously, the tackling is a bit different, but just physicality levels, speed levels, I feel like that's helped me in my game. And that's also a big factor in Chisholm's games, too. She's also fast and very physical, too. And it's the same with Mark, Mark and Alana, both of them. Obviously, Alana's in the rugby scene, and then Mark's obviously with me. And I feel like both of us are able to, feed off each other. And we obviously talk about each other's experience and stuff on the pitch and stuff. So, it's really good. My younger brother too, he's also playing rugby, Shannon as well, too. He's trying his best too. It's a good experience, really. Every day is kind of a learning day. So, all's going good.
Yeah, and it's that you said there a couple of times, all's going good, and that's very obvious within this group, because it seems as if you're just encouraged to go out, play the game on the front foot, and that suits your style. Like we've remarked on it so many times in commentary, you have this ability to take a ball and it's like you jump and kick the heels in the air, and when you hit the ground running, you're gone. But like being encouraged to do that, being encouraged to carry ball forward, it really seems to suit you.
Yeah, you know, like everyone has different aspects to their games, you know, and obviously mine would be my speed and my strength. So obviously Marcus Sterling is also, he's obviously covered, like he's telling me all the time that take my man on. That's what I'm doing. I like doing it too. So yeah, like you have to see what players are good at and tell them and like make them work on what they're good at. Obviously it'll help them in the games. And it's the same, like the boys on the team, they feed off my running. So if I run down the wing, you know, lads will be cutting behind me or cutting off me, you know, so they can get good, so they can get space to shoot. You know, so yeah, like you just kind of have to, whatever you're good at, just work on it and then use it well. That's what you're gonna have to do, really. So yeah.
It might sound like a strange question to ask to finish up, Eacon, but if you didn't have sport in your life, be it rugby or the soccer, or particularly, I suppose, Gaelic games around the town of Innes, do you think that you'd have integrated as well as you did, or how much has sport kind of forged the community you find yourself in?
Nah, it's forged it. It has helped me a good bit, if I'm being honest. Like, you know, sport has always been my life. It was part of my dad's life, part of my mother's life, so I feel like we're just feeding off from them, you know, and they're really big into sports too, like, so they always put it into us, so, but like, they never forced us to really do it, you know, we kind of forced ourselves to do it, really, so, it's not like it was forced, like, I feel like sport was always for me and my family, so, it's a really big thing to us, so, and like, obviously, it has helped us to integrate in the community too, obviously, for my mom and dad too, like, because they're obviously from Nigeria originally, so, it has helped them to, you know, gain friends and be recognized around the place because of us playing our sports. So that's obviously a good thing, like, it'll be a bad thing in my eyes. So, and, you know, we're just working, you know, obviously, like, we play our sports now, obviously, for ourselves because we love it. I'm also trying to, like, you know, encourage the young people to continue playing sports because most people go into secondary school and they start playing. And I feel like in secondary school is where you can kind of, you can see if you're going to make it or not. But even if you're not going to make it, but just kind of be part of a team. Because being part of the team is really big, you know. You always have that friend. Like, if you have, like, you know, you have teammates and they'll always have your back. You always have friends outside sport too. Like, you know, like me playing with Joel, I've made friends from Cork, Kerry, and Mayo. Like, and you know what I'm saying? And like, if I didn't play sports, I wouldn't have known those fellas. So I feel like sport has been a really big thing for me and my family. And I can really appreciate it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a brilliant message to put out there, no doubt. Listen, thanks so much for your time today, Eacon. That's a beautiful jacket you're wearing. If you find a double XL one up there, Joe Gary might take it from you. Maybe throw on an extra X for him as well, if you can at all. But listen, thanks so much for that.
No worries. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
John Camry joins you now to turn our attention towards Camogie, where it is quite a busy weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, taking up with it. John, intermediate and senior sides out in provincial action.
Yeah, two good games to look forward to, Derek. You know, weather improving and Championship hurling. So, yeah, you know, two good dress rehearsals now, a month out from the start of the All-Ireland series. So, you know, we're looking forward to the games.
Yeah, I suppose it's a welcome kind of interval from the break, shall we say. You know, you've had a couple of weeks off now since the league, and as you say, a few more weeks to go into the big stuff of the All-Ireland. So this will fill that gap nicely, this Munster series.
That's it. You know, the girls are training well. We're very happy with the group we have. They're really putting the shoulder to the wheel. Things have gone well since the end of the National League. We're training well. We've played a number of challenge matches, had a good few victories, and it's starting to come together now. But of course, you know, we're playing the All-Ireland champions in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Again, it's a great learning curve for the girls. You know, we are up against it, but we've nothing to lose going down there, and it's a great game for us to get an advanced All-Ireland series.
Well, this is it, like, because on Sunday, as you say, like, that while you're up against it and all the rest of it, but for them to get to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, for them to be involved in that occasion, by the time, you know, the stadium will be fairly full, I'd imagine, from maybe a good shot of it onwards anyway, like, but they're the occasions, they're the venues, they're the days you're going to want to be involved in, so why not see one of them this early?
That's it, and that's like we have a young team, development team, and you know, this they'll get their first taste of because you know there'll be 10 or 11 girls playing at this level for the first time on Sunday, and they'll get well, we have 5 or 6 girls that have experienced that before. A lot of the girls will experience this atmosphere for the first time, and you know, they I think they'll really look forward to it. You know, we're developing a young athletic you know, Clare Camogie team, and I think they're doing very, very well at the moment. And you know, Sunday will be, in the years ahead, they'll have plenty of victories in these games, hopefully, as the years unfold.
All gets underway on Saturday as well, though. The intermediates out in action as well. That game kind of put off by a week or two as well.
Yeah, we're playing Kerry in Leix now at 2 o'clock in the Munster intermediate semi-final. So. Again, you know, there's 9 or 10 new players into this team, and they're training well, and look forward to the challenge of taking on Kerry. Now, we played Kerry in last year's Munster semi-final, and we were beaten by 2 points, and we'd have been very disappointed coming away to be beaten by 2 points. So that's a good test done for this team. Again, effectively, you know, a nice blend of experience and youth, and a good game to look forward to. Their league, the intermediate team, their league finished a good few weeks ago, so they haven't had a competitive game in 6 weeks. So they'll be looking forward to getting out on Saturday.
Yeah, and as you say, they'll have no fear really, I'd imagine, of Kerry, because while they've been a good standard setter at this grade, as you say, there wasn't much between them the last time.
No, that's it. Look at Kerry. I suppose Kerry were operating in Division 1 of the National League, so you know, they are a step up for our girls now, but that's what they're training for. That's what they're playing for. You know, this intermediate team is a feeder team for the senior team. And, you know, there are 4 or 5 girls on that intermediate team that will go on and play senior in the years ahead. And, you know, today's like Saturday is a great experience for them.
And we will be keeping you posted on those games here on Clare FM both tomorrow and on Sunday.
This feature, Sport in Focus, is funded by Cumashun na Mban with a television licence fee.
That was part of our latest Sport in Focus series here on Clare FM. Delighted to be joined in studio by some members of the West Clare Taekwondo Club, mainly the head coach Luke Moriarty and two of the athletes, Victoria Abron and Odin McDulty as well. Guys, thanks for coming in to have a chat with us. Luke, I'll start with yourselves because you were maybe the first point of contact we had on this. Tell us a little bit about the club.
Yeah. We're obviously a Taekwondo club based in Kilrush. We opened up in 2013, originally in Camihill, but moved during COVID to Kilrush. We have about, I want to say, 80 to 90 students. We've had 4 or 5 competitors on the Irish team as well that have won international medals. So I think it's good success and it's doing well.
I think you're playing it down a little bit there. Just over a decade old and you're already talking about international medals.
Yeah, no, it's good. The progress has been good, especially after COVID. It seems to have picked up a lot.
Obviously, you must have identified a gap, or did people come to you with an interest in starting the club, or how did it all come about?
Well, my dad originally opened it up because I wasn't even a black belt when I first opened, but he just wanted to spread Taekwondo. Then I took over because all the opportunities my coach gave to me to travel around Europe, win international medals or compete, doing what I love, I wanted to give that to other people, and I'm very passionate about Taekwondo as well. So
yeah, we were talking off air, you've been in here before celebrating some of your own successes. Tell us about that. Yeah,
I was here last year when I won the European Championships in Romania, and then the time before that was with Quinn. I think we were going to a European Championships as well, but yeah.
Is that like a byproduct you think about when you get involved in the sport, that you're going to get the chance to travel to these places? Because, you know, you may not decide, you know what, I'll go to Romania for a weekend. It's kind of something that comes as a result of this, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely when I was younger, I definitely didn't think about competing for the Irish team. I was kind of thrown into it because my dad wanted me to learn how to defend myself. It was only when I was about 13, when I got my black belt, that people started talking about the Irish team and training for it. And since then, haven't really looked back.
Yeah. There's for people that are listening, there is two big bags of medals here in front of me, and we're going to go through them in a while and pick out what each one is for. Victoria Abram is with us as well here in studio. Victoria, what attracted you to Taekwondo?
Same as Luke, my mother actually wanted me to learn how to defend myself, and I started it when I was about 8 years old, and I just fell in love with it.
Yeah. What exactly about the sport is what hooked you, or what obviously, if you go to the level that you guys have got to, there's something that has held you to that commitment.
I think, like sports-wise, I really like the sparring and fighting aspect of it because you have all the like technical stuff as well, but I prefer the sparring. But also, I've made a lot of great friends and just made me, yeah, fall in love with it even more. So
yeah, and that travelling aspect as well. Have you gone off to far-flung places?
The travelling as well, yeah. I've been to Slovenia, Romania and Finland so far, and then Poland as well. So it's a great travelling opportunities as well. And yeah, it's nice to see all the different places, meet new people as well.
Yeah, and to have the success as well, because I'd imagine all that travelling, while it's great to be able to do it, there is a bottom line, something has to pay for it.
Yeah, so we do have a lot of fundraising, but it's all funded by our parents as well. But coming back with a lot of medals, it's nice to bring something back to the club.
Yeah, we'll go through a full list of exactly what has been won by all of you as well. Odin, the same question, I guess, to yourself, or is it a similar story of your background as to why you got started?
Well, mine isn't really the same as these two. I never got thrown in to defend myself. When I was younger, I used to love the TV show Power Rangers, and I absolutely loved it. So I just wanted to go around doing flips and all that crack, and I wanted to do karate originally, but the closest club for that was Ennis, and my dad wasn't able to drive me all the way into Ennis. But then we were at the Camel Festival of Fun one year, and we were just watching the parade. We went back to the car, and there was a flyer on the car for West Clare Taekwondo Club starting up, and he was like, "Do you want to do that?" And I was like, 100% yeah.
Wow. I'm sure. There's a lot to that. Power Rangers, the Clonmel Festival of Fun, that's not a link that you'd often throw together. I know there's a few of them around there, if the likes of Declan Cleary and these lads are listening, he could often pass as a Power Ranger. But doesn't it just show then, like, I mean, because you go to all these things and you see various flyers put out and you wonder what's the point for you wasting your time, but it obviously had an effect on you that it opened that door.
Oh, 100%. It's just, as Victoria said, like, it's, you get to travel, you get to... You're training all the time and you're staying fit, but you get the social aspect of it as well. You get, like, we have friends from Dublin, Cork, every county, and then outside of that, when we go to Euros or World Championships, we meet other people from other countries as well. So you make friends from Spain, England, Croatia, Slovenia, any of them, and you meet new friends as well. So you get to meet friends and not just as well compete for Ireland as well.
Yeah, and you're probably in a unique enough position because I'd say a lot of people would view the likes of karate and taekwondo and you know, kickboxing to an extent, probably more as urban sports, you know, that you'd have them in big towns or big cities or whatever. But for this to flourish like it has in West Clare, that's a phenomenal success story.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a big, big success story because obviously we're a small enough club in West Clare, like where you... Like, we were just at a competition there over the weekend, the Leinster Championships, and we had a very big success. We only brought 40-odd competitors or something like that, and 37, and we brought back about 40 medals, and compared to the likes of clubs from Dublin that were bringing 80 or 90 competitors, so we were punching well above our weight, like, and it's just unbelievable success that not just from us, but from the young lads as well in the club.
Luke, what do you put that down to?
I think I put it down to everyone in the club, to be honest, you know. It's the students that put in 100%. Obviously, we have the black belts or the guys on the Irish team that help out. I'd like to say it was all me, but no, it's definitely a team effort, and I think that's why we're doing so well. We have, like, Odin is he came second in the Euros in patterns. Then obviously we have myself who won the Euros in sparring. That's two different aspects of Taekwondo that we have the highest level of coaches for the students. So I think that's it really, just a team effort.
Yeah, and it's a serious effort as well to not just go and recruit new people to come and take up the sport, but also to have the coaches in there that are ready to get them hit the ground running, because we see it across a lot of sports, and I've had a lot of people in off various codes, and they've all said the same thing, that if I'm a parent that brings a child, I'm looking for a high standard. I want to see that my effort of bringing the kid is rewarded by the effort of coming back from the club. Like, there's a lot of pressure to do that.
Yeah, there is. But, like, my main kind of number one rule is you give 100% in the club and I'll give 100% back, because it's respect both ways. You know, I'm giving my time to teach, but they're also giving theirs money and time to come and train. So it's everything has to be done at 100%.
Yeah. Talk to me then, Victoria, a little bit about maybe the female aspect of it. Like, is there many other female members within the club?
There is, yeah. There's a good few. I'd say we're a female dominated club kind of but yeah, there's On the Irish team, we also have a bunch of girls that we're all friends with. So, yeah, there's a good few.
Yeah, and like I just noticed the way you kind of glanced across at the lads there when you said we're a female dominated club, as much as to say don't forget where the power base is here. Like, but that must be very encouraging to see, because you know there's so much conversations now about retaining girls in sport across whatever that they're doing. Like, but to be able to say that, that's great.
It is, yeah, it's great. It's really nice to see all the young girls like doing this sport, because it's not really like. Like, when you hear taekwondo or karate, you wouldn't really think girl. Like, you'd think, like, a ninja, oh, like, yeah, a boy. But there's a lot of girls, and it's really good to see, yeah.
Was that a thought that you might have had when you started out? Were you a little bit kind of apprehensive because it would be traditionally seen as a male-dominated thing?
I think so, yeah, slightly. But the more I got into it, I realised that it's for both, so it was fine.
Talk to me then a little bit about maybe the first big trip that you went on. I mean, to be going on a trip is always great, like, but to be going as an athlete must make you feel that little bit taller.
Yeah, my first international competition was a World Cup in Slovenia in 2022. I was really excited for it. I was ready to win. I was like, yeah, I'm winning it. It's mine. But obviously, I didn't come back with a medal. Well, I did come back with a medal, but in a team event, not individual. And I think it was just a really great learning experience. And it was just, yeah, ever since then, I've skyrocketed and I've gotten better. And I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, more to come, no doubt. Just you mentioned a term there, the team element of it, because I think a lot of people that would talk about or hear about taekwondo and karate, they think that individualistic type of it. What are the team events, or how does that dynamic work?
So you have team sparring and you have team patterns. For a team sparring, you have a team of five and it works on flags. So you try earn in the match as many flags as you can for your team. And for your team pattern, it's like, I don't know how to explain it really. I think Odin would be.
Okay, Odin, you've been tagged in here.
Team patterns is like it's like a routine. Patterns is like a set amount of movements, like as my father would say, Irish dancing. You have your set amount of movements and you have to do them with precision, power and technique. And it's basically just five lads or girls doing that routine, and they have to try and do it in sync and in unison.
Okay. So it sounds like then that like there is almost two strands within it. There's the physical, we call it combat style for want of a better phrase, but then there's that aspect to it as well. So this is a very inclusive thing.
Oh yeah, 100%, because, do you know, obviously if you have a young lad coming in and they might be a bit scared or a bit hesitant to go sparring or fighting, you have other aspects as well where they might not get hit but they still are involved in the sport, because you have patterns, you have sparring, but then you also have special technique and power breaking. And special technique is you have to hit a board over a certain height, or you have to jump over a rope at a certain height. And when you go to European Championships, those heights are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just unbelievable skill to do it. And power breaking is breaking boards like you'd see in a karate movie or something like that.
Well, so there's cliches within the sport, but they kind of all seem to ring true on that. Luke, tell me then, so if I've, you know, a child in West Clare that might walk into the club that first night, I mean, what's the first involvement, or take us through that process of becoming maybe up to the stage that you're at?
Well, first of all, it would take a long time, especially to get up to like the level we're at now. But they come in, they train. For now, they train twice a week. We do kind of additional sessions if it's coming up to gradings or competitions. Attendance is a big thing if they want to progress. You know, we do gradings maybe twice, three times a year. And then obviously once you get to the black belt level after years of training, it's about trying out for the Irish team. It's even more training than maybe five times a week. And it's just a lot of training, to be honest.
Yeah, discipline sounds like it's a key component too, is it?
Yeah, it is. It has to be your number one priority, to be honest. Especially if you want to get to the like the these lads are at here. There can't be anything else above it. It has to be nearly a full-time job at this stage.
And indeed, since we had that chat with the lads, Odin actually went on to win bronze at the European Championships, so we send a huge congratulations to him. That's where we have to leave it for this week's show. Another busy weekend ahead, so do stay tuned here to Clare FM. We'll keep you up to date with it all. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.